The Nets and the Bucks. What a game. Literally, what are we talking? Like a centimeter? I don't even know if it was a full centimeter. Kevin Durant. If his foot is just behind the three-point line, that's probably game over, and they move on, and that would be one of the greatest shots made of all time. It ends up being a two-pointer. And then the Bucks end up winning that game ultimately in overtime. They move on, and the 76ers lose. Simmons still, I don't understand why he didn't dunk the ball. I don't get it. I don't know. Not saying that one play cost him the game, but what is going on at that moment, Paul? As a big man yourself, give me your thoughts on Simmons. Let's start there. And the unwillingness to want to just put the ball up at that point. I don't understand it.
It defies any explanation, Jason. I've never seen anything quite like that. To be in that position, like you said, all he had to do was literally dunk it. I can understand the guy is obviously completely traumatized at the thought of shooting a three-pointer. But as this has gone on, he's become more and more reluctant to shoot anything, culminating at a critical time with a dunk. You just can't even make it up. His response after the game, Shaq's absolute, being completely exasperated with Simmons. It's all part and parcel of a Philadelphia team. I can't even imagine what they feel like today. How did we lose a seven-game series to the Atlanta Hawks? Not taking anything away from the Hawks, but Simmons is a conundrum, not an enigma. He's a conundrum, a problem. And now they have to wait from the offseason to see if he gets himself mentally right. Wow, that's amazing. The Final Four going to go to the NBA championship are amazing.
Paul, you know, definitely the three-pointer is an issue, but, you know, there's a lot of talk about his inability to shoot free throws. You know, how difficult is it for a coach to manage a team when your point guard, you don't want him on at the end, you don't want him on the floor at the end because he can't shoot free throws? Is that, like, to me, it just seems like a real problem.
Well, if you look back historically, Jason, Wilt Chamberlain was the first major scorer that became a liability down the stretch because his free throw percentage in his career was so low. Hack-a-Shaq came about because his free throw percentage was so low. But now, here we are decades later with all of the advantages that athletes have in terms of training and the special coaches they'll bring in to work with somebody. There is no excuse other than something psychological, certainly, or a guy just not willing to put in the hard work, or somewhere in between. But yeah, it's a difficulty. But here would be my big point, that Giannis Antetokounmpo is a little bit bigger than Simmons, but Simmons is huge. Simmons is a huge man, and Giannis is scoring 38 and still a liability at the free throw line, but he's doing so many other things, plus attacking the rim. Simmons, he's not attacking the rim. He's a good defender, but what else do you say beyond that? He's got to be a lot more than that.
Let's flip over. We're joined by Paul Sirt, talking all things basketball, to the other Game 7 we saw on Saturday night, Brooklyn and, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks you spoke about. You know, the hamstring of the beard is dangerous, and we had Kyrie Irving out. You know, is it unfair to say that the Bucks didn't see the best from the Nets and they won because of that?
I would say partially true, but what they did see was the best from the best with Kevin Durant's epic 48-point performance. I mean, he did the work of two or three superstars that night.
He did.
You know, he was unbelievable. And we saw the greatest player in the world now playing at his peak. It was such a beautiful show of offensive skill. It was something to behold that he just willed his team to hang around. With the Bucks playing pretty well, that was a great basketball game and a really fun game to watch. A lot of games aren't. That one was. So, they would have been real interesting to see with Kyrie, able to play Harden at full strength. We would have thought the series certainly would have gone in Brooklyn's favor. But a tribute to Kevin Durant in his willingness to do, you know, Jordan-esque, bird-like, magic-like things to try to will his team to a Game 7 win.
Oh, man, he was unbelievable in that series. No question about it. And, you know, I look at – I kind of thought before the winner of that series, has a good chance to win. But then you've got Booker going off for the Phoenix Suns. And you also have – a point guard in Atlanta who might have something to say about things right now, Paul. You know, it's interesting looking at Booker and what they do. Do you, because I look at the Bucks and I just wonder if psychologically the Bucks getting by the Nets will be such a huge boost for them, and they'll be able to maybe relax down the stretch now, and I could see them kind of dominating Atlanta potentially. Or am I totally missing, and am I underrating Atlanta and Phoenix right now?
Phoenix, yes. Phoenix is a good team, and Devin Booker is that was a major performance, and it's without Kawhi. Paul George is playing great. Clippers are a good team, but Ayton's playing better. If and when Paul comes back, I think they've got a real legitimate shot against the Clippers. And I know they're up 1-0, and it's easy to say that, but I think they have a legitimate shot to go to the NBA championship. In the East, Atlanta Hawks, my gosh, they just keep surprising us all the way along. They refuse to lose. They find a way to win. Their point guard is remarkable, but he's got a great supporting cast around him as well, who can really shoot the basketball. They seem to be gamers. So maybe the Bucks will relax. The one thing that I think the Bucks could take the most heart from is that Giannis didn't want to shoot a lot of threes in Game 7. And he was just doing what he had to do to get to the rim. And I don't see, if he does that Atlanta really has anybody that can match up with him. I mean, Giannis was going right at Durant and absolutely manhandling him. He's big, he's strong, he's so long and athletic and so skilled around the basket. But there again, back to Strud's point, put him at the free throw line, and man, it's a crapshoot. So, you know, it's hard to say that Atlanta won't have a shot in this series because everybody said that before they played Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, the Atlanta, I love how you characterize them or frame them as a bunch of gamers, because they are. But doesn't that all start with their point guard, or their Trae Young, their dynamic player, because he goes to the net and sometimes like, no, don't do it. And he just lobs the ball over everyone. Like, he's fearless. And when you see your main man doing that, it's got to be infectious for the rest of that Hawks lineup.
It absolutely is. And you've encapsulated who he is as a player. Here's where he is, I think, so impressive, is he's a great scorer. He's got, of course, Steph Curry-like range. But what makes him so fantastic is his fearlessness and his ability to pass to the open teammate. And, you know, you say this in basketball, get it to your teammate on his hands when they're open to give them the best chance to make the shot. That's Trae Young, but what's so impressive about him is that could be on a 45-degree pass from the other side of the court, and he still has the ability to fire a bullet on the hands of the player that's open. He is just somebody that just radiates confidence that is infectious, and he has got this Atlanta Hawk team believing that they can do this, and you know what? They've got a lot of talent. So it's not like this isn't Rudy. This isn't Hoosiers. This is a team that can play. And so a team that can play with belief with a superstar like that are really dangerous. You still have to favor the Bucks, but that is a very dangerous Hawks team. Just ask Doc Rivers.
Yeah, poor Doc. He's probably shaking his head.
Oh,
he's having
God.
A tough run in those Game 7s.
You know, Ben Simmons... You know, what do you do with Ben Simmons? Like, can you win a championship
you
with
trade
Ben
him.
Simmons?
You trade him.
You trade him.
You trade him, Paul.
Agreed.
Yes.
Send him to the same team with Kyrie and let that team try to win a championship with those two guys. My God, can you ever win a championship with either of them? Like, Simmons is worse than Kyrie because Kyrie's won a title. But
yeah.
Simmons,
well, Kyrie, I think
you can't build around him.
Kyrie can make clutch shots, though. Kyrie will make big shots for you at times. Kyrie might be, you know, like he's gotten over his flat earth myth thing, so that's nice. But I think they actually miss Kyrie. If they would have had Kyrie in Brooklyn, they win. But Ben Simmons just, I think Ben Simmons is a player who's a good NBA player. Who's overrated. I heard people kept, like, it's like they're in love with what they think Ben Simmons is. Like, he's been in the league long enough. This is who he is until he suddenly can shoot the ball. He's not the player you want him to be.
One of the great sayings, if someone tells you who he is, believe him. Simmons is telling us who he is. Let's believe him. You know, I mean, he's several years into the league. He's talking about going home and resting and working on the mental part of his game. I don't think resting's the way to work on the mental part of your game. I think you better get your butt into the gym and start shooting free throws and work, you know, you better get like Karl Malone after they lost to the Bulls. He was in the weight room that night. I think Ben needs a little Karl Malone in him. He doesn't need a few weeks on the beach. The problems there are a lot bigger than that.
Paul, always good to catch up with you. Quickly, who's going to be in the NBA final? Who are you picking?
I'm going to go with the Bucks and the Suns.
Bucks and the Suns. All right. Yeah. I like it. We'll see what happens.
But always a pleasure, Jason. Thank you.